She's always been perfect. Hey there, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I am your OG Godcaster, Steve Wapp. Since it's Sunday, we'll be reading from the epistles. We'll start the book of Philippians by reading chapters 1 and 2, and after the reading, I'll have some comments. I'm calling this episode Rough Edges. The show notes page for today's episode is lifespringmedia.com/S12E179. You can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let's get started. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is in the cause of Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and strife, but others out of goodwill. These do so out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, seeking to cause me anxiety in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice because I know this will lead to my deliverance through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. Now if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am pressured by both. I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that, because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Just one thing. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or am absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel, not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but of your deliverance, and this is from God. For it has been given to you on Christ's behalf not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, having the same struggle that you saw that I had, and now hear that I have. Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Hold firmly to the message of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. In the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Now I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be encouraged when I hear news about you. For I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know his proven character, because he has served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with a father. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am convinced in the Lord that I myself will also come quickly. But I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need, since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have one grief on top of another. For this reason, I'm very eager to send him so that you may rejoice when you see him again, and I may be less anxious. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. Well, let's talk a little bit about Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6 is one of my favorite promises in the Bible. It's a promise I rely on when I'm not happy with my progress as a Christian. Here it is. Paul said, "I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Well, I haven't seen this bumper sticker in a long time, but it used to be pretty commonplace around here. It said, "Be patient. God isn't finished with me yet." I don't know about you, but I'm not a very good example of the perfect Christian sometimes. I have what you might call some rough edges. Is it just me, or do you know anyone else like that? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Now, I think that if you ask the lovely Lady Leanne, she'll probably tell you that I'm better than I used to be. At least I hope so. What's that? What about her? Is she getting better than she used to be? No, I can't say that she is, because she's always been perfect. And then in verse 9, Paul continues the thought of God continuing to work on us. Paul said, "And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." You see, very few people, when they first become believers, have a radical change in their personalities. It does happen, but it's not the rule by any means. Most of us change over time as the Holy Spirit works within us to conform us to who God wants us to be. I think it's a lifelong process for almost everybody. I know that he's been working on me for over 50 years. So don't get discouraged when you fall short of how Scripture tells us we should be. When you fall short of the ideal, when you feel disappointed in yourself for not being the perfect Christian, realize that that reaction is a good thing. It means that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's correction of you, Use that to help you change the decisions you make in the future. It is a process. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm so glad he hasn't given up on me and that he's constantly chipping away the rough edges. How are you doing in the process? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a comment at lifespringmedia.com/S12E179 or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow will be Leviticus chapters 7 through 9.
Boost!
I got a great night's sleep last night. It was so much needed. I was exhausted. And do you remember the other day I said I walked 2 miles and that my goal was to get up to 5 miles? Well, today I was sort of forced to increase that 2 miles to 3. I locked my keys in my truck when I went to pick up my mail at the local UPS store. 3 miles away. Yeah. Now I thought, well, I could call AAA and they'll come out and unlock my truck for me. Or I could pull out my phone and open the Lyft app and get a Lyft. And then I thought, well, you know what? I could walk it. So that's what I did. The only problem is, most of the way is uphill, so that 3 miles might have been more like 4 or 5. But anyway, I did it, and my legs are feeling it. So after a day of recovery, I can probably get back to doing 3, maybe 3.5 miles the next time. So that's called taking a bad situation and making the best of it, right? Well, I just found out about this promotion that the Fountain app is doing. They tweeted the other day, we are giving every new Fountain user who plays a podcast a welcome gift of 1,000 sats. Why? So you can see just how good it feels to send them to podcasts you enjoy. Offer ends the 1st of March, 2022, so it's just a couple of more days. I'm hardly ever on Twitter, and this is how Fountain does their marketing on Twitter, and I just found out about it from listening to the Podcasting 2.0 podcast the other day. So if you have been thinking that, you know, I really should try that out, go to either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the Fountain Podcast app. It's free. And sign up for a new account. And while you're there, if you're listening and you get all signed up and you want to send that 1,000 sats my way, I won't argue with you. Also, you probably remember I said that someone sent me a here's where I found you email the other day and I lost it. Well, today when I was going through my email detritus, I found it. That email was from Vic Ogburn. So, Vic, thank you for sending that email to me. Glad to know where you found me. And thank you for your courage and trying out the show from hearing it on the No Agenda podcast. Welcome to the LifeSpring family, Vic. On this date in church history, February 27, 1838, William J. Kirkpatrick was born. He was an American Methodist sacred composer. He's best remembered for composing the melodies to such sacred favorites as He Hideth My Soul, Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, and Lord, I'm Coming Home. And also on this date in church history, February 27, 1847, the Reverend John L. Lennart is commissioned as chaplain of the U.S. Navy. In 1862, he became the first U.S. Navy chaplain to be killed in action when the Confederate ironclad Merrimack sank the Union frigate Cumberland off Hampton Roads, Virginia. My brother-in-law, Steve O'Brien, who used to be my pastor, also used to be a chaplain in the United States Air Force. I have a lot of respect for chaplains. And sometimes Steve listens. Hey, Steve, if you're listening, here's a thumbs up to you. Thank you for your service. Prayer requests. I got a prayer request just a few moments ago. This person wants to remain anonymous and would like us to pray that God would give them direction. They have talents in many different areas, and the talent that they enjoy most using is not being used right now, and they miss it. So let's pray that God would point this person in the right direction. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for continuing the work in us. Thank you for your patience. And thank you for not giving up on us and for rounding off those rough edges. We pray for Anonymous, Lord. You gave them many talents, and I have to believe that you want them to be used, so please give Anonymous direction and the opportunity to exercise the talents you've given them to glorify you. And God, I thank you for bringing the LifeSpring family here. Wherever they are, whenever they're hearing this, I pray that you would bless them and that they may feel your presence at this very moment. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E179, or you can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Please support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. And if you haven't gotten one of those new podcasting 2.0 apps, now is the perfect time to get the Fountain app at either the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Pick up those 1,000 free sats and send them to your favorite podcast. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. My name is Steve Webb. I've had fun today with you. I'll see you next time. Bye.